Daily Drive is brought to you by TrueCar.
Over the past 7 years, TrueCar and its affinity partner sites have been named the most visited, most useful, and drive the most showroom visits among automotive third-party sites, according to the J.D. Power 2014 to 2020 New Auto Shopper Studies.
Welcome to Daily Drive. I'm Steve Smith with Automotive News. It's Friday, November 20th. The coronavirus has certainly had an impact on consumers' transportation decisions. As an example, 69% of consumers in the United States plan to use their personal vehicles less over the next 3 months than they have over the past 3 months. 20% say they plan to use rideshare services less over the next 3 months, and 21% of U.S. consumers say they plan to use less public transportation. This, according to the latest research from the Consumer Technology Association, organizers of the annual Consumer Electronics Show. In part two of my conversation with CTA President and CEO Gary Shapiro, we delve deeper into the findings of their latest study of 1,000 American consumers. What else are consumers saying? They want healthy car tech that monitors for drowsiness, delivers advanced filtration, purifies the air around them, and removes bacteria from surfaces within the vehicle. Technologies that perhaps, according to Shapiro, create a new ground for competition among automotive suppliers. What are consumers' opinions of other automotive technologies in areas like autonomous, electrified, and connected? We continue our conversation with CTA President and CEO Gary Shapiro. So let's turn to, I think, the topic on everybody's mind right now, and that's the pandemic. CTA is releasing some very interesting research this week. Looks like about 1,000 consumers around the U.S. talking about their transportation decisions, talking about their interest in autonomous and electrified and various other technologies inside and around the vehicle. What are U.S. consumers saying about their transportation decisions?
You know, definitely COVID has an impact. If you think about it, people are feeling very comfortable in their cars compared to, for example, public transportation. That's been a big impact. And but they are using the car less because of COVID-19 related restrictions. Obviously, some people don't have to go to work as much. They're trying to stay home. You know, they're avoiding social gatherings, things like that. They're, you know, obviously bars, movie theaters, and lately, you know, sporting events, things like that, or every day there's a new restriction being announced. So a private vehicle is very important. It's more important now than they even said it was 6 months ago. Half of them said they'll only travel in their car for their next trip. So that's, in other words, they're saying, I want my car, I'm not going. But travel is definitely down overall. 31% expect less travel for leisure before the end of the year, and only 12% expect business travel. So that's the, in a sense, there's a softening there, but the car is king. But they are looking for other tools for their cars, such as digital keys. That's very important. They're willing to pay for health and wellness technology to travel safely, such as UV sanitizing or self-cleaning bottles. We see a lot of strong indications there. Almost 40% find in-car health, wellness, and well-being technologies appealing. And then there's safety. Driving attentiveness is more important. People are focusing on that. And then there's technologies addressing air quality as a priority, including advanced filtration systems, air quality monitoring. So those are some pretty significant findings. And that's something which is we're seeing changes in buying behavior and what consumers are asking for. Now, whether this will be a permanent shift remains to be seen.
It's interesting. You touched on it a little bit. You know, when we talk about automotive technology, inevitably it goes to autonomous and electrified and shared and connected. But your study, and again, you touched on it here, is this emergence of health-related in-car technology. Seems to be growing for obvious reasons given the world we live in right now. I'm curious, in your mind, is this a new battleground for competition among suppliers within, you know, in-car technology and technology around the car, the health of the occupant and the environment in which these cars operate?
Potentially. And this, you know, the ones that respond the quickest to things are the ones that seem to win. I mean, we see now Airbnb going public because they responded to COVID and they realized there's a demand for local sequestering. And we see Southwest Airlines jumping in and adding new routes now. The car companies that figure this out and what consumers want will be the ones that will attract more consumers, because people want different things now, and they'll be sensitive to that. And I don't think this is a flash in the pan thing. I think they want to know that they're healthy. They want to know that the car is reliable. Obviously, there's other influences going on now, such as the shift away from cities, if you will, to suburban and rural areas, perhaps just because you can work anywhere, number one. And number two, it's a safer environment. You can get outside more. You can do things. You have more freedom there. We've seen that in the price of real estate is reflected. And that'll obviously translate into, you know, more demand for SUVs, more demand for vehicles which are better in a rural environment. It could affect the truck market, small truck market as well, and other cars. So I think what we're seeing is, you know, bicycles are pretty good too in terms of mobility. It's if I was selling public transportation right now, I guess that's a bigger haul, and it may be something perhaps with a new administration in Washington would be more investment. But in terms of COVID, public transportation has a rockier road right now.
We'll be right back with more of our conversation with Gary Shapiro, President and CEO of the Consumer Technology Association.
Today, more than ever, consumers want a convenient, personalized car buying experience. One where they can find the right vehicle and build a deal that works for them online. In fact, 65% of consumers are more likely to shop a dealership that enables online deal building. With TrueCar Retail Solutions, consumers get the modern digital buying experience they seek, and dealers unlock a more complete customer profile, enabling higher quality connections that close faster. Now, millions of TrueCar shoppers can discover VIN-specific pricing on your inventory, get a TrueCash offer on their trade, input their credit score range and desired down payment, and include all these important elements into a monthly lease or loan payment, which is all controlled by you. This new experience increases efficiency by pulling customers deeper into the funnel, reducing friction, and building trust along the way, delivering you a more informed buyer who's ready to close. With TrueCar Retail Solutions, you can deliver a modern retail experience for today's digital buyer. Visit TrueCar.com/retail solutions to learn more.
Yeah, I saw that. What was interesting is just, you know, diving a little bit on one of those data points when you ask about scooters and you ask about bikes compared to ride sharing, right? It seemed that people were a little bit more willing, a little bit more favorable to hop on a scooter that they might find on the sidewalk in a shared model than they were willing to hop into a car under a shared model as well, which I just thought was interesting consumer insight from your research.
Absolutely. I mean, I've experienced that myself. I've done some ride sharing in the last few months, and I'm getting more comfortable, but I'm not where I was a year ago.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The other thing that emerged from your study, which I thought was interesting, is this notion of electrified, right? And so much so that it appears to be more and more influencing consumers' purchase decisions, whether it's a new vehicle, whether it's a used vehicle. Your study indicates that when faced with the decision of self-driving type of technologies or electrified powertrain technologies, the electrified side is more influential, more important to their purchase decision. Are consumers, you think, increasing? Have we reached that tipping point where consumers are increasingly interested in electrified technologies in their vehicles?
Absolutely. I mean, we're seeing that, you know, with the addition of the rapid growth of Tesla. All of a sudden they're a S&P 500 company as of this week. We're seeing it in terms of demand. Regulators are definitely pushing that way around the world. We're seeing in terms of economics, falling battery prices, the lower cost of ownership. We're seeing obviously the major car companies, and GM is certainly moving in that area, and we expect Mary Barra to be talking about that in her CES keynote and maybe making some big announcements. And we've seen that in terms of the consumer pull side, the environmental focus that consumers have, and even innovative sales models. The reality is obviously electricity has to come from somewhere, and somewhere is still pretty heavily that's basis of fossil fuel. So that discussion of a fossil fuel and where it's going will be resurrected big time under a Biden administration. So we may see more of that in terms of the push to battery. So, you know, definitely electricity or electric cars rather are really in for a whole range of reasons.
This seems like a lot of insight. And a lot of technologies that traditional automakers perhaps need to embrace, need to think about. Any advice you would give to traditional automakers, suppliers? How do you embrace these technologies to remain competitive?
Well, it's difficult, but you have to. I was just on a board meeting call of a foundation I sit on this morning, and the famous Michael Milken raised the point, saying if you're selling something, you have to put yourself in your customers' seat, what they want, not what you want to sell, what they want to buy, what their concerns are of the moment, what they are actually concerned about. And that's a strong statement. Customer experience is absolutely the king in the auto industry. And those that companies that are shifting quickly to upgrade their car configuration tools to foster sales, those that are recognizing that traditional car buying experience is not viewed in the highest light by consumers, that a digital customer journey might be better, the advantage of connected cars, and also even the demographics that are rapidly changing. If you want to appeal to younger buyers who are less keen on vehicle ownership, maybe you offer different flexible ownership models. Maybe you have online car buying more, and we're seeing an explosion of, obviously, of online car buying. Virtual showrooms, if you use the AR and VR to bring products to life. I mean, there will be an end to this pandemic, and people will be back in showrooms. And some people in some states actually consider car showrooms to be critical, and they've left them open or they've reopened them. Mm-hmm. You know, connecting the brochure to the showroom and allowing users to somehow get a feel for the car before taking the actual test drive. The actual test drive, of course, is like the highest close sales technique there is, but you got to get people to want to take that test drive. And how do you do that? And there's all sorts of ways to do that. And I think that the automakers that are surviving are the ones that are really smart to figure out how to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. My own personal opinion here, I actually feel that there is going to be a point in the future where you're able to put on VR goggles and experience a virtual test drive before actually showing up at a dealer showroom. Yeah, maybe even, you know, inside of a gaming system, right? You're taking your car on some of the best racetracks in the world. That I think is in the future, but I think very apropos to what you're talking about and using these technologies to create some very new, exceptional, and I think even customized customer experiences.
You got it. And what we do is, because we're a trade association nonprofit, we get the people who care about this stuff in a room, the manufacturers, the retailers. We have a vehicle technology division that our members participate in as part of their low-cost membership. And we focus on what kind of research we should do, like the one I was just talking about, what consumers really want. We have standards that are based on aftermarket applications. We're part of the PAVE board, which is Partners for Automated Vehicle Education. We have a self-driving working group with 81 different companies participating. We advocate for, you know, good public policy so these technologies and regulations can come in a way which will encourage innovation, which will encourage commerce in the business, and we welcome those companies that want to work with us and support them. So anyone who's listening, just go to our website, cta.tech, or drop me a note or a line, and we'll be in touch about how you can participate.
Terrific. Let's close with a topic I think that is timely, that is very important, and that's the topic of diversity and inclusion in the automotive industry. We are coming off the heels here at Automotive News of our every 5-year celebration of the 100 leading women in the North American automotive industry. We hosted that last week, and I was thrilled to see the makeup of those 100 leading women certainly reflect the traditional automakers and automotive industry, but more and more technology companies are playing a role in the exceptional women that are leading those companies. Talk to us a little bit about what CTA is doing to bring diversity and inclusion to CES 2021. On top of Mary speaking, on top of Lisa Su from AMD speaking, how is CTA showcasing diversity and inclusion during CES 2021?
Well, certainly in addition to the people you name, well, there'll be other high-profile speakers, not only women, but underrepresented groups. There are many, many different speakers. That's been something we've been focusing on for several years now. And we also have reached out when we have the physical event, which won't be 2021, but we did it in 2020 and do it in 2022, is we reach out to major companies and say, you know, if you want to bring some people, we have some opportunities in terms of ways of getting them there in groups for employee resource groups, which a lot of the companies have. Also for journalists, we from around the world, we focus on getting those journalists, which don't look just like you and me, to CES. And we also have put our money where our mouth is. We've created a $10 million fund about a year and a half ago. We've committed already $7 million worth of it to invest in women and minority startups. through VC that do that. So we're not choosing the winners and losers, but we are choosing the VCs that are investing to make sure that they could those investments go right. Plus, we're doing things with promoting apprenticeship programs. We announced a partnership with IBM to do that because apprenticeships are a great way for getting different people into the workforce quickly without the traditional four-year college type of thing, which too many companies honestly focus on. In fact, we were actually successful in getting the Trump administration to change the longstanding rule that if you're selling to the government, you have to have certain contracts, certain educational things in the information technology area. That was keeping back a lot of good workers from major government contractors, and we got that changed. And we also focus on the Boys and Girls Clubs. We do all sorts of different things to get people in the tech industry in different ways, from cradle to grave, if you will, of all the different approaches we're taking. But CES is very visible, and we recognize it, especially those that are speaking. They become role models and others, and we try to do as much as we can. And we've been doing this for many, many years before it was fashionable. Like we don't even let our employees speak on panels unless they're diverse, which has raised some interesting issues, especially if the employee is diverse. So we've dealt with those in different ways, and we'll continue. It will never be perfect, but our goal is to get better every year.
Gary, thank you for all of those efforts. Certainly important to the industry. Congratulations on what I know is a Herculean task. It's a Herculean task when CES was live and in person. I can't imagine the level of effort that it's taking to pull this show off in a digital environment. Congrats to you and your team. Wonderful new research. Thank you for sharing insights. And we look forward to hearing a lot more of what's going on at CES and working with you as part of CES in 2021 as well.
Absolutely, Stephen. Thanks for focusing on it. And you know, I'm here in the Detroit area. I've been here for the last 9-10 months. And it's great to be in the land where land of the automobile. And there's a great future there. And CES and CTA will be part of it.
That's Daily Drive for Friday, November 20th. Stay tuned for more information on how Automotive News is collaborating with CTA to bring programming to the CES 2021 agenda. In the meantime, visit autonews.com for breaking news and autonews.com/Daily Drive to catch up on more than 170 episodes. As always, thanks for listening. We'll be back on Monday. Have a terrific weekend.